ولا لأزليتهم كراء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء، سيد المرسلين والأنبياء، أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبت في الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إذا كان يوم القيامة لا يزول العبد قدما عن قدم حتى يسأل عن أربعة أشياء: عن عمره فيما أفناه، وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه، وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه، وعن حبنا أهل البيت. صلوات. First of all, I would like to congratulate the parents of Hamza Zaidi on this memorable event as we are celebrating his graduation. Certainly, it's primarily the efforts of the parents and later the efforts of himself which have proven to be successful and today we are celebrating the passage of a significant milestone in the life of Hamza. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide you further successes in your life in this world as well as in the hereafter. Islamically, a success is defined differently as compared to how those of the people who are worshipping this dunya define their success. On our side, we consider a person to be successful if your efforts shall bear some fruit and benefits on the Day of Judgment. If your efforts have some benefit for you on the Day of Judgment, that's what we call as success in Islam. If any of our efforts in this dunya has no benefit on the Day of Judgment, no matter how much successful in the eyes of the Ahlul Dunya we may be, that's not considered to be a real success. So every action of a mu'min's personality has to have a share in akhirah. And this is the whole concept of ibadah. When we perform our life in a way that everything we do is for the sake of Allah, then every action of ours will have a benefit on the Day of Judgment. The hadith of the Holy Prophet that I recited in the beginning of my speech is certainly an eye-opener for all of us, that we all should be focusing on this hadith throughout our life, because it touches our lives. There is nobody who can consider himself exempt from this hadith, because the Prophet is saying that, in other words, no one can move forward in the Day of Judgment unless and until he is asked four questions. So every single human will be asked four questions, or he's not going to move forward. Not even a single step. لا يزول العبد قدما عن قدم. I mean, he can't take a step until he is asked four questions. So now we are learning the meaning, the real meaning of success in the eyes of Rasulullah. So we are always clear about what our success is in the life of this world, and never get inspired and affected with how the rest of the people define success for us. Fake success. Fake meaning of success. Question number one that will be asked from everybody is عن عمره فيما أفناه. How did he spend his age, his life? So did we spend our life the way our Creator commanded us? Or we spent our life the way we wished, the way we liked? So that's, where we find Islam says, well, we need to do everything for the sake of Allah. Everything of ours in our life has to be ibadat, even sleeping, even eating food, drinking, walking in the street, talking, going to job. Everything of your life has to be ibadat. You need to do it qurbatan in Allah, so you remember Allah. Everything that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your entire age is for His sake, in His service. And that's where you have nothing to worry about. On the occasion of Mi'raj, in the night of Mi'raj, we find the hadith says that the Prophet, this narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen, that he says, Prophet asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rabbi, ma awwalul ibadah. Prophet asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Mi'raj and Ascension, what is the first ibadah? And Allah replied, أول العبادة الصمت والصوم. The beginning of ibadah is to stay silent. الصمت والصوم and fasting. It's not my subject of speech to elaborate on the concept of sukut and samt and silence in Islam, which is one of the very beautiful subjects, and how much Islam has laid emphasis on staying silent unless you must, unless you have to speak. If you don't have to, stay silent. We are secure from so many problems and calamities that will befall us through this tongue that we sometimes speak carelessly and end up facing those aftermaths which are unpleasant. So samt and silence for the sake of Allah itself is considered to be ibadat. And not just that, but in the hadith we find that Imam Kazim al-Islam had said to Hisham ibn al-Hakam that inna li kulli shay'in dalilan wa dalilul aql at-tafakkur. Everything has an evidence, and the evidence of aql, if you want to prove somebody is intellectual, somebody has aql. Now, how can we prove somebody is intellectual? Not because he's challenging the laws of Allah in the name of intellectualism and open-mindedness. The whole bunch of people are doing nowadays. But if you want to prove somebody is intellectual in the Islamic sense of the word, dalilul aql at-tafakkur wa dalilul tafakkur as-samt. The sign of a person being intellectual is that he performs tafakkur. He thinks, he ponders. And the sign of the fact that he's thinking is his silence. Now you realize how much important silence is in Islam. Silence, your intentional silence for the sake of Allah, is the sign of you being intellectual, and you being intellectual, you a sign of being you being thinking. And you being thinking about the affairs of Allah is the sign that you are intellectual. So that's where the ibadat starts in Islam, with silence. Awwal al-ibadah, the beginning of worship is through silence. The second thing is psalm, fasting. Then when Allah replied that, Prophet asked on the night of Miraj, Prophet asked Allah, Ya Rabbi, wa ma mirasu psalm. What is the inheritance of psalm? That means, what is the end result? What's the aftermath? What a person is going to get if he has silence and fasting? If he has fasting, what is going to get at the end of the day? And Allah replied, "Yurithul hikmah." Fasting will provide wisdom, and wal hikmatu turithul ma'rifah, and wisdom will provide ma'rifat. And wal ma'rifatu turithul yaqeen, and ma'rifat is going to provide yaqeen and certitude. Fa'idha istayqana al-abd. Now at the end of the day, when a person has yaqeen, he ends up having yaqeen. La yubali kayfa asbaha bi'usrin am bi'yusr. Then he doesn't care in what situation he dons, he enters into his morning, whether he's in the tough times or he's in the easy times, he doesn't care about that any further. So, because he's Ahlul Yaqeen, so when a person becomes Ahlul Yaqeen, he doesn't care what situation he's facing in the life of this world. So, we find that it's very important for you as a young graduate, as you are stepping into further stages of your life, inshallah, to remember, and it's important for all of us as well to remember, that our age, our lifetime need to be spent for the sake of Allah. That's the question number one that we will be asked. And our success in this matter depends if we do everything for His sake. Question number two, وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِي مَا أَبْلَحْ. MashaAllah, you are young in your life. Although a woman is always young and a mu'min never gets old, because the real youth in the real sense of the word is to be able to successfully perform our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the real youth. The young age is not that we end up doing things energetically on the wrong track and end up facing all those wrong aftermaths of our actions. This is not the real youth. The real young age is when we utilize the energies, the blessings, and all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us on the right path, so that we benefit from all that. Not that we just go behind our desires and wishes and go behind this shahwat of this dunya and the whims and wishes of the life of this world, which is going to provide nothing but more and more huzn and sorrow for ourselves. It has to be very clear in our minds that if we are spending our young age running after this dunya so we can gather more dunya like some other people are doing around us, then we should be clear that first of all, we are displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second of all, we are holding ourselves to be our enemies. We are doing enmity towards our own selves. We are unfaithful towards our own souls. And third of all, whether we realize or not, that's irrelevant. That's not the point. That's besides the point. And third of all, we are causing more sorrow for ourselves instead of happiness. Because we find in the hadith of Rasulullah, he has said that الرَّغْبَةُ فِي الدُّنْيَا تُكْثِرُ الْحَمُّ وَالْحُزْنُ. The more eager you become towards dunya, the more it's going to provide you sorrow and you become more mahzoon. وَالزُّهْدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُرِيحُ الْقَلْبَ وَالْبَدَانِ. Keeping away from dunya is going to provide comfort of your soul and your body. So even for the sake of your own selves, our own selves, we need to keep away from getting attached to this dunya. And there is a very fine line, because when we are living in this world and we are spending our life in this world, it's very attractive. It has been likened in the hadith to a snake. Layyunun massuha, like Imam Ali says in Nahjul Balagha. Dunya is like a snake. You know, a dunya, in the masal ad-dunya, masal al-hayya. Example, the parable of dunya is that of a snake. Layyunun massuha. If you touch the skin of a snake, it's so soft. Isn't that right? Apparently a snake is soft. But inside the snake, there is a killer poison which is going to kill you. So that's exactly how this dunya is. It seems to be very soft and very sweet and very attractive. And if the more we go after it, the more we get entangled. Because in other hadith, it has been said that, it's just like the sea water. كُلَّمَا شَرِبَهُ الْعَجْشَانِ ازْدَادَ عَتَشًا حَتَّى يَقْتُلَهُ. Dunya is just like a sea water. The more a thirsty person drinks from the sea water, ازْدَادَ عَتَشًا, he increases in his thirst. Salty water can never quench your thirst. So the more you drink, the more your thirst expands further. حَتَّى يَقْتُلَهُ, then Imam Ali says, until the seawater is going to kill him. So the same way, the more we go after this dunya, this is the best time for you as a graduate to think that the efforts that we perform in our life should never be for the sake of this dunya. And our efforts should be focused on staying away from this dunya. Actually, in one of the hadiths, we find that this dunya personified, it came in the form of a person, a woman, in front of Hazrat Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. And Hazrat Isa asked dunya, because you know the word dunya in Arabic is a feminine. So it is a feminine, it came in the form of a woman in front of Hazrat Isa. And he asked her, how many husbands did you have? And she replied, a lot. And then he asked her, so did you divorced all of them? She said, no. Actually, I killed all of them. And then Hazrat Isa replied that, basically he... you know, he said, as he expressed his his concern about those of your remainder husbands who are still not ready to take a lesson out of that. A whole bunch of other husbands who are ready to marry the same dunya again without taking a lesson from what has happened to the earlier generations who had much more than what we can ever make. But neither the sky wept over them and their departure, nor the earth cried over their removal. That's not in the hadiths, just I was explaining it to you. So basically, this is about our young time, because as we move from the age of pre-maturity, pre-bulugh, where we were busy as natural in lahw and la'ib, that's what the job of a kid is. A kid can do nothing but lahw and la'ib. Isn't that right? The play and amusement. But when we get older and reach the age of Islamic maturity and become baligh, now we are supposed to not get involved in lahw and la'ib, in things which are making us away from the yad and zikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaging ourselves in those things which take us away from Allah's remembrance, all those plays and amusements. Now we are supposed to remember Allah and keep away from this dunya, because we are grown-ups. So we need to behave like grown-ups. And the sign of being a grown-up is to have zuhud. That means to keep away from getting attached to this dunya. Third of all, the Prophet has said, وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَهُ. The third question that's going to be asked is, no one is going to move a single step forward in the Day of Judgment. Day of Judgment is a 50,000 years long day. 50,000 years equal to our calculations. 50,000 years of span. And we have those 50 mawaqif and stations where we will be asked different questions on those stations. But we can't even move forward a single step unless and until we reply to these questions. And the third question that everybody will be asked on the Day of Judgment is that, where did you make your money from? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ. You'll be asked about his wealth. Where did you earn the money from, the source of your income? You know, wa min ayna iktasabahu wa fima anfaqahu. Where did he earn the money from, and where did he spend his money? Because after graduation, and after we are done from our college and university, that's usually that's how it goes. Now we head towards job, making money, work, which is an ibadat in Islam, to work from halal, to make money from halal, because we all need money for our survival in a respectable way, which is ibadat of Allah. A jihad in Islam, to make money from halal, to live a respectable living, is a jihad in Islam. But if we are not attached to the dunya and we are have zuhud, that's where we will not get attached to the money. But if we already got attached to dunya, we are into this dunya and its temporary attachments, then there is no protection for us that the time when we are making money, we get attached to our wealth. And now this love of gathering more and more and more, the greed, can always possibly land us in a place where we make money from haram. So why the people are making money from haram? Because they love to make more, isn't that right? They think if they earn the money from haram sources, they can make more money. That's how they think. Although they can never think make more. You remember the famous story of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was going to enter into the mosque to pray. He had his servant Qambar with him. And he handed over his horse to this guy and, basically asked him to take care of the horse for the while when Imam Ali is praying inside the mosque. Imam went inside the mosque and prayed. And when he came back, he discovered that this guy stole the reins of the horse and sold the reins in the marketplace in Kufa. Well, Kufa was not a cosmopolitan city of tens of millions of people. It's a small, tiny city. And there were, you know, multiple shopping malls there, and there's one marketplace only. So Imamali also need to have a new reins for his horse. So he went into the marketplace to buy a new ones, and he found the same thief was standing there. He sold those reins, and he was also standing there in the same market. And Imamali said to him, you know, I had in my mind to pay you, in other words, I had in my mind to pay you this much amount, whatever, 8 dirhams, 10 dirhams, whatever it's there in the riwayat. That much amount that he made from haram, the same amount Imam Ali had in his niyyah to pay him when he comes out of the masjid, to pay him for the sake of taking care of the horse. But he got the same amount of money at the end of the day, but he made it from a haram source. So we need to have iman and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our greed towards the money can never ever make us earn a single penny more than what is destined. No matter how much extended hours you may work, if it's not written by Allah, you cannot make a single cent. And if it is written to reach your hands, then no power on earth can snatch it, what Allah has destined. This is what iman is all about. So the greed of money takes us to places where we start earning money from haram, which is not going to take away our, it comes in our house. When you bring the money in your house from haram sources, it brings all the balas with it. That's the package deal. It comes along with it. And it takes away your iman. It doesn't stick around in your house. The haram money leaves the house as soon as it can. And it takes your iman along with it. And not just that, but now it is going to provide athar and effects in your entire, in your lineage. Because the Imam, in the hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, Kasbul haram yabino fi zurriya. Haram earning appears in the zurriyat of the person, in the nasl of the person. And what my Mawla Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, no power on the planet can make it become fake and untrue. It is going to happen the way he has said. So you find all those people who make money from haram sources and look what happens to their children. How much they are practicing Islam and how much they are caring about Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, what is their situation, how much they pray, how much they pray and fast and khums and hijab and zakat and fitrah and you name it, all those basic Islamic rulings, how much they are practicing, how much they care about Allah. Because there is no way a person would care about Allah. His stomach has the components of haram in it. So it's very relevant to remember that at no point in our life when we start doing our job should we go towards making money from haram sources and spending it on haram. Well, if you make it from haram, it is going to go to places where you are not going to have any reward. You know, let's be very clear about it. Man kasaba malan min ghayri hillihi sarafahu fi ghayri ajrihi, whoever earns the money from a place which is not halal is going to spend the money in a place where he is not going to get any reward, any ajr. So haram source money will end up being spent in places where you will have no reward. This is also bound to happen. I can give you examples of my personal experiences about people who have been making money from haram, what happened to them and their children, and what happened to the money they made, and how they spent that money, even though they may think they are doing very nice, spending for the sake of Islam, at least some of their money, but even the money that they spent for the sake of Islam is problematic for them and is counterproductive for Islam. And fourth of all, at the end, the Prophet says, وَعَنْ حُبِّنَا أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ. The fourth question that everybody will be asked is about the love of us, Ahlul Bayt. That's the biggest asset of our life. And you as a young person should always consider the love of Ahlul Bayt as the biggest asset that you can carry with you. حُبُّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ جَوَازٌ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. The love of Ali Muhammad والسلام, is the license for you to carry to pass over the bridge of Sirat on the Day of Judgment. لا يجوز أحد الصراط إلا من كتب له علي الجواز. No one can cross the bridge of Sirat except the one for whom Ali alayhi salam has written the license. So the license for crossing the bridge of Sirat is the love. That's we need to protect. The biggest asset of our life is the love of Ahlul Bayt. And that's why we pray. Because we love Ahlul Bayt, the representatives of Allah, and their love is equal to the love of Allah. مَنْ ذَكَرَكُمْ فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنْ ذُكِرَ الْخَيْرِ. Whoever remembers you has remembered Allah. إِنْ ذُكِرَ الْخَيْرِ كُنْتُمْ أَصْلَهُ وَفَرْعَهُ وَأَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ وَمَعْدِنَهُ وَمَعْوَاهُ وَمُنْتَهَاهُ. Whenever khair is mentioned, you guys, that you Ahlul Bayt, are the beginning of every khair and goodness. You are the end of every khair and goodness. You are the, you are the mineral of every khair and goodness. And you are the limit of every khair and goodness. And you are the root of every khair and goodness, and you are the branch of every khair and goodness. Basically, they are the khair. So, loving them is nothing but loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why we perform all the great the deeds and ibadat in our life, because of the love. If the love of Ahlul Bayt was not there, nobody would pray. Nobody would fast. Nobody would do any of those worships. So even if sometimes we may end up doing sins in our life, we get back to the straight path because of the same love. As long as the love is alive, there is a hope for a person, for a sinner, to still come back to the track because of the love. So don't kill the love of Ahlul Bayt in your souls, which can be killed if we start supporting the zalimeen and the taghuts in our life. Because loving Yazid doesn't combine with loving Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and that's not a rocket science. Loving Muawiyah doesn't combine with the claim that, hey, I love Imam Ali alayhi salam. Then why are you supporting Muawiyah? Does it make sense? So loving any zalim of today is no different. Loving any Yazid of today is no different. Because Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the Imam of today, is no different from Imam Hussein, is no different from Imam Hassan, is no different from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is part of An-Nur, isn't that right? So his enemies have the similar status like the enemies of Imam Hussein, like the enemies of Imam Hassan, like the enemies of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So protecting the love has a prerequisite that we don't support and don't stay silent over the zulm of the zalimeen, so that we become entitled to claim before the Imam of our time, with whom we shall be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. Quran says, the day when we will resurrect every people with their Imam. So we are the ones who belong to the Imam of our time, which is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Isn't that right? We are under his imamat. So we love and we pray that we will be resurrected according to alongside with our Imam, which is Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Waliyul Asr, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and your parents and your family with happiness and the real success in the real meaning of the word in the Islamic sense of the word. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide barakat in your life. May Allah provide barakat in your ilm. And may Allah provide barakat in your amal. And may Allah provide barakat in your love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And make you among the followers and among the supporters of the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu was-salam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.